Hey, thanks for joining us. This is Lady V along with SD. We are She Talks Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, the podcast, where it is our goal to inspire hope. Today's topic, wisdom, a God-listening heart. Stay tuned for an insightful look into wisdom. Lady V, I'm sitting here with SD, and today, you know, we are talking about wisdom. Mm-hmm. So why is wisdom important? Well, let's look at it. You know, wisdom is important to our lives because we need wisdom to live skillfully mm-hmm. and not recklessly. Mm-hmm. The Word of God is filled with wisdom. So when we read the Word of God, we learn golden nuggets that light the way and keep us on the right path. Mm-hmm. God uses wisdom of the past to speak to our present. And you may ask, how does God do that? Well, the answer is clear. Mm-hmm. God speaks from His Word.
That's right.
Through the experiences of others. And as we live, we gain insights that help the next generation.
Exactly.
And Proverbs 2:11, it says, wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Mm-hmm. And Proverbs 3:4 says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Mm-hmm. So wisdom is the principal thing. Mm-hmm. Why? Because, and with wisdom, the perks of wisdom is good judgment, mm-hmm. knowledge, and discernment. Mm-hmm. Okay? So when we look in the past through the Word, we look in 1 Kings chapter 3. And I'm going to also reference chapter 4. We're talking about King Solomon. He was known as the wisest of kings. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. And the reason he was known as one of the wisest of kings because he loved God like his father, King David, loved God. Mm-hmm. And he worshiped God. And he followed all the traditions that his father followed in worshiping God. And so this it happened upon a day he was he had just young king just got married to the Pharaoh's daughter in Egypt, and you know he's young king and you know he's worshiping God and he knows you know he's never done this before. He's mm-hmm. never been a king before. He's mm-hmm. been put in this position to replace his father King David, and he needs a word from God. Mm-hmm. So he worships God, and then in a dream at night, God visits him in a dream and starts speaking to him and saying, you know, what do you want? What ask whatever you will, you got it.
And those were pressures by him being young
yeah.
to fill the shoes of his father.
Oh yes, definitely, definitely. And so when God asks Solomon, what is it that you want? You know, just ask me anything. And Solomon's like, well, you know, I'm young. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm thrusted in this position to rule over a great people of Israel, where these people number like the sands on the beach. That's mm-hmm. that's how many people these were. They were innumerable. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm a mere child. I don't know what I'm doing. I need wisdom. I need a God listening heart. Mm. And the reason why he asked for a God listening heart, which pleased God, is because he knew that God was above him. Mm-hmm. God knew all things mm-hmm. and he was just a mere man. Mm-hmm. And the wisdom of God will always trump the wisdom of man, because if you think about it, the creator that made it the created being, how would we know more than God? So therefore, what he did was, when he asked God, okay, give me that God listening heart. I didn't know how to rule and govern over these people that you have given me. And so God being pleased with Solomon, you know, because he realized, Solomon, you came to me because you knew you couldn't do this alone. Mm-hmm. And that's how God wants us to be. And I can even reference, I'm going to take a quick reference over to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 42, where Mary sits at the feet of Jesus while he is discussing Scripture. He is giving her insights. He's giving her wisdom. And she's sitting at his feet, studying at his feet. She's listening and hanging on every single word mm-hmm. because she knows what Jesus has to say is going to matter in her life. Mm-hmm. And that is how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to come to God like Mary, like Solomon, and sit at his feet and listen mm-hmm. to what he has to say. Mm-hmm. So continuing on from 1 Kings chapter 3, when we're looking at Solomon here, in a stream, and God is talking to him, and God is asking him, what do you want? I'll give it to you. So Solomon says, okay, give me that God listening heart. Give me that wisdom. So I have that discernment to know the difference between good and evil. Mm-hmm. He said, then I'll be able to judge. I'll be able to lead your people. But without that, I'm not going to be able to do this. And God says, you know what? You've asked a good thing. And because mm-hmm. you've asked of that, you haven't asked me for more wealth. You haven't asked me to kill your enemies. You haven't asked me to for anything more. I'm going to give you everything more mm-hmm. just because you asked for the most thing, important thing that you would need, and that's wisdom. Mm-hmm. So he said, I'm going to give you a wise and mature heart.
And you know, Lady V, mm-hmm. you can't get better direction than from God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
His direction will never lead you wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because one thing about God, he knows our beginning and our end. Mm-hmm. And because he knows our beginning and end, he knows what we'll need to get through this life mm-hmm. and what we'll need to make decisions with our lives. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's good to sit at the feet of Jesus and read the word. Mm-hmm. But getting back to Solomon, this wisdom that he received from God after he woke up from this dream, it was right on time mm-hmm. because he went back to Jerusalem, and here were two women. There were two prostitutes mm-hmm. and they had a dispute that was bringing before him because they wanted him to settle it. And they were hiding. It was like a watching a show of Judge Mathis. You seeing two people fussing and fighting and Judge Mathis sitting there trying to figure out who telling the truth and who uh-huh. died. So, and shout out to Judge Mathis. Love uh-huh. you. But this is how it kind of was. They were before the king because the king made decisions like a judge would make decisions. Mm-hmm. And so these two prostitutes, these two women came before him with a dispute over a baby. Both women had lived in the same house, and one woman had a baby 3 days before the other woman. Mm-hmm. And the first woman that had the baby first, her baby was a living baby. And mm-hmm. the second woman that had a baby 3 days later, her baby died in the middle of the night because she rolled over on him. Mm-hmm. And so what the second woman did, she took her dead baby and she put it and swapped it out with the live baby in the other, the first woman's arms that night. They lived in the house, same house together. Nobody else lived in there with them. And so therefore, no one else would know whose baby was who except mm-hmm. the mothers and mm-hmm. God. Of course. Mm-hmm. So when the real mother woke up, she finds this other woman's dead baby in her arm. And she realized, she looks at it, she's like, this ain't my baby.
Mm-hmm. And how crazy is that? Mm-hmm. How could the other mother even think mm-hmm. that this woman would not know her own child?
Well, there's where deception comes in at, where mm-hmm. the enemy can blind you to the truth and make you think that your lie is a truth. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, she felt like, oh, she ain't gonna know the difference. And that was her blindedness mm-hmm. and thinking that, you know, she could get away with that deception, mm-hmm. you know. But when the first mother wakes up, realizes she has the dead baby of the other woman's in her arms, and that woman has swapped the babies out, she was like, oh, we're going to the king, you're giving me back my baby, and I'm gonna get him to settle this. And so they're fussing and disputing before the king, saying, that's my baby, she stole my baby. No, she stole my baby. And then here's King Solomon saying, okay, both of you are saying it's your child. Mm-hmm. Both of you are saying, you know, it's the other one. The other one has a dead baby. Mm-hmm. And he was like, now what do I do? So I like how the scripture says, after a moment. So the king took a pause. Mm-hmm. He said, bring me a sword. So that pause is important.
Sometimes we need to take a
yes,
pause,
yes, mm. yes, yes.
Go ahead, lady.
We have to take we have to take a pause. And that's what the king did. He took a moment. He took a pause. And I would just like to believe that he took a pause to see what God was going to pour into him mm-hmm. with that wisdom that he had asked God for, that mm-hmm. God had given him.
I agree.
So he said, bring me a sword. And so they bring him a sword. And here are these two mothers before him. One of the mothers, who's the real mother, is distraught because she hears him say, bring me a sword. Mm-hmm. So she knows that can't be too good.
That's right.
And,
that's
and the other mother is just standing there because it's not her child, so she has no emotional ties. Mm-hmm. So therefore, she don't have an emotional reaction to that. Mm-hmm. So the king says, okay, both of you saying it's your baby, let's just sell it. We'll cut the baby in two. And then both of you get a piece, since mm-hmm. you both want to fuss over the baby. But here is the wisdom in this. Now, King Solomon had no intention of killing this baby. Mm-mm. But because of the wisdom of God, he was prompted to say, bring me a sword. Mm-hmm. Because in saying, bring me a sword, he knew the reaction of the real mother would reveal who she was, because her emotions would give her away. Mm-hmm. And therefore, when he said that, the real mother immediately goes, no, just give her the baby. Don't cut him. Just give her the baby. Mm-hmm. Cut him. Give mm-hmm. him to her alive. Don't cut him. And she's distraught because she's like, this is my child's life. Mm-hmm. Wherein the other mother of the dead baby who was trying to claim this woman's live baby said, no, we can't, if I can't have him, she can't, then just cut him to go on and cut him. Mm-hmm. She cared nothing about mm-mm. this child's life.
Emotionless.
And the king said, don't do anything to the baby. Give the baby to the first mother. Mm-hmm. That's her child. Mm-hmm. And then it spread the word over through Israel that this king's judgment was from wisdom from God, because he discerned between the two mothers mm-hmm. who was the true mother. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that's like sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary was mm-hmm. in Luke chapter 10. Mm-hmm. Because that pause that King Solomon took in 1 Kings chapter 3, that pause that he took was a pause like Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus in Luke chapter 10. It was taking a moment to sit, to listen, mm-hmm. to listen for God's voice, to listen for God's instruction. And that was the instruction he received to reveal the true mother. Again, King Solomon was never intended on killing this baby, but he mm-mm. knew he had heard in his spirit, ask for a sword mm-hmm. because God knew the real mother would reveal herself through her emotion. Mm-hmm. He would see it and know who to give the live baby to. Mm-hmm. Now this wisdom, I'm talking about this wisdom because this is so important, because Solomon became well known because of the wisdom of God. No king had wisdom like Solomon did. Mm-mm. No king had a kingdom like Solomon, because Solomon's people in Judah and Israel, they prospered. Mm-hmm. Everybody was content. Everybody was happy. Everybody was well cared for. There was mm-hmm. peace in the land. There was no dissension in the land. Mm-hmm. There was peace. It rained. Everyone in Israel, they were safe and sound, because there was no chaos. Mm. Because peace came with the wisdom of God, because of decisions that King Solomon made mm-hmm. by what God poured into him. Mm-hmm. And other kings came to him, sent for him, mm-hmm. because they heard of all this wisdom he had. The wisest of wise men also was not as wise as King Solomon,
right.
because he knew things about animals, reptiles, everything. He knew what God gave him. Mm-hmm. God gave him a foreknowledge. Mm-hmm. I would like to think was sort of like Adam, mm-hmm. because it was a knowledge that no other man had. Mm-mm. You know, and it was a wisdom that, because wisdom was there at the beginning.
That's right.
When God made the earth. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, it's like Solomon was given that kind of wisdom to know all things. He was mm-hmm. he was very knowledgeable. And because of that, he reigned and ruled his kingdom well. And it also said in the word of God that he was sovereign over all the surrounding nations. Mm. So that is an honor, a great honor from God.
Now that means it was peace.
Yes.
That means he got along with all the yes. other nations' leaders.
Yes, absolutely.
Because of wisdom.
Yes.
There was peace in the land.
Yes. Solomon was well respected mm-hmm. by other kings. And they didn't want to give him any trouble, because they knew he knew a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And they knew they could gain from that wisdom mm-hmm. that he had. Mm-hmm. Because his kingdom was so prosperous. He had so much. His kingdom was so prosperous. So here we have the perks with wisdom, mm-hmm. the good judgment, the knowledge, and the discernment. Mm-hmm. All of that came with the wisdom that God gave King Solomon. Mm-hmm. And in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12, it says, I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge mm-hmm. and discernment. Mm-hmm. And we know a good bit of the Proverbs is written by King Solomon.
That's right.
You know, that he was attributed to, along with another author. But I just wanted to point that out. And as we talk about, you know, our sister wisdom, we got big sister wisdom.
Yes.
We want to pour out to you, me and SD. Mm-hmm. We know that we all can learn from the experiences of our elders.
Exactly.
So by sharing these experiences with the younger generation, we impart a wisdom that they as well can pass down to the next generation. Mm-hmm. So for today, and speaking about our big sister wisdom for today, we were looking at the scripture Philippians mm-hmm. Chapter 4, verses 6-8 in the New King James Version. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we got three wise nuggets we want to talk about today, and we're going to chime in some things that from our experiences that we want to share with this next generation to help you along the way. First of our wise nuggets is talk to God about everything that concerns you. He listens and he cares. So that first point is because we need direction from God, and he can reveal real solutions. What do you think, Esty?
Well, that right there is so important because I consider myself, because I'm close to 50. So I'm 48. So I consider myself an elder to the millennials.
That's right.
I've learned some things that if when my elders warned me, if I had listened, I wouldn't have fallen on my face. I wouldn't have made the mistakes that I made if I had just listened. And a lot of times, young people feel as if they're being badgered, or, you know, they feel like, I know more than you know. How can you know more than I know? For instance, I've lived, if you're 20 years old, I've lived 20 years long more than you have.
Absolutely.
So that means I have 20 extra years of experience that you don't have. And I can tell you some things that if you listen, you wouldn't make the same mistakes I made.
And what would you give as advice concerning talking to God about everything that concerns you?
Well, that's the first thing you need to do. You need to, whatever your problem is, you need to talk to God and ask him to lead you. And if you listen, God can lead you to a person who may be older than you. And I'm not saying that only people of certain ages have all the wisdom. No, there are some young people that have wisdom too. But most of the time, those young people have some sort of spiritual relationship with God. And they have learned, or they have grown up in a home where they were poured into, where they learned about the love of God and the word of God and the wisdom of God, and they have submitted. Now, I know some people think submit is a bad word. It's not always a bad word. 'Cause when you submit to God, he is able to lead you and guide you and direct you into what we as Christians say, all truth.
That's right.
And when he leads you and guides you, he's not going to lead you to a place of destruction.
That's right.
So if you first consult him, then after you consult him, he'll direct you to who you can speak to. Now, some people may say, well, I can't go to my parents, or I don't have anyone that I can go to. God can lead you to someone if you pay attention, you keep your eyes open, you have your ears to hear. He can, you could be in a waiting room somewhere, and an elder person can be sitting right beside you. And if you have your ears open, God could say, well, pose this question to this elder sitting right here. See what they'll direct you and guide you to do. And you can ask that person, and that person gives you the advice that you needed. And then you're thinking, well, how did that happen? God placed you there so that you could be seated right beside that person, so that that person could give you some wisdom that could keep you from making a mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we look at the next nugget, number two, don't let anything threaten your peace or stop your growth. And with that, it's about paying attention to red flags. The truth is often revealed if we heed to the warnings. And sometimes the truth is right before our face. And a lot of times we want to block the truth out. We don't, especially let's speak about relationships. if it's someone you're in a relationship with that's threatening your peace, stopping you, your growth, stopping you from doing things that you feel like you want to do or need to do, and it's like a control issue, there are red flags are there. And a lot of times we just need to pay attention to that, and not allow our emotions to cloud our judgment.
You know, they say hindsight is 20/20. And that, you know, that's a really neat saying, because sometimes when we make a mistake, think about it. After you've made the mistake and you go back over and you look back, and then you can see the red flags that were waving at you. You can see them clearly. That's why they say hindsight. It's because you're looking back, and when you look over it, you can see those mistakes clearly, that when you were in that situation, you were blinded to it. So
that's good. That's good.
Be aware. You know, don't be so quick to act. Because our emotions sometimes can take over.
That's right.
And when we respond so quickly without taking a moment, as you said earlier, Lady V, taking a moment, when something happens, just take a moment. And okay, God, now how do I need to handle this? And that could save you from a mess.
Yes, a lot of heartache. And that leads to our third point, which is don't be anxious about anything. And that, it follows what SD just said. Don't be in a rush about anything, because desperation is a breeding ground for mistakes. And when you're making crucial decisions about your life, you have to avoid making rash decisions. You have to take the time to talk to God, talk to your family, talk to wise counsel. And when we're talking about wise counsel, who is the wise counsel? The wise counsel, as she said, is somebody that's older, someone that's wiser than you, someone that you respect, to tell you the truth and not sugarcoat anything.
Exactly.
So me not being anxious about anything. That's a third nugget. Anything you want to add about that?
Well, I know sometimes when we're anxious, it's because we want to take control. We want to take it into our hands. And sometimes when you take stuff into your head, you're so anxious that you just react. You respond. You do. Without taking a moment again to just consult God. Or, like we were saying, a mentor. You want to go to God first. That's what we believe. Always go to God
always,
first.
Always.
Always consult Him first. And then you're like, okay, well, I didn't get anything. I didn't hear anything. I went to God, and I don't know what to do. Then you go somewhere, and then somebody starts talking to you. And the next thing you know, within that conversation, you get the answer to what you were looking for.
God just uses people.
God uses people.
But you have to pay attention to what people. Because some people can have a listening ear to God and can give you what the Holy Spirit is giving them, which is wise counsel. And they can pour it out into you. But then there are others that you have to beware about. And that's why you have to pay attention to that, that whether or not your peace is disturbed. Because if you get information from someone that's still not setting right in your spirit, and you feel like, I don't know if that's the right thing to do, then you need to take a moment. You need to pause. You still don't need to move or act, because you could act and step ahead of God, or act in a way that can take you down the wrong path. So when you have that wise counsel, and you know that person is somebody who you respect and is wise, and you've seen that from the past, or you're looking at their life, and they're living their life responsibly, and you know, okay, they're doing something right. They got some direction from somewhere. And most of the time, you know, you can see where somebody has direction from God, because their life shows the fruit of it.
And be careful of people who have ulterior motives. Because some people may not want you to get ahead. So they may tell you things to slow you down, or to try to get you to not be on the path that you feel like you're being led down, you know, for your good. Now, some paths are not for your good. But there again, that's where talking to God is going to help you. You know, that's, we're Christians. That's what we believe, you know, more power, you know, to each his own, mm-hmm. but we believe when you trust God, when you go to God, mm-hmm. you are not going to go wrong. Mm-hmm. He is always going to bring you out on top. Mm-hmm. His way is always the best way. That's what we believe.
It is. And the direction, not being anxious, also, you know, fits in, waiting for God's direction. And like you said, sometimes it may take a time, take mm-hmm. a little bit mm-hmm. before God actually reveals what he wants you to do. Sometimes he wants you to be still. Mm-hmm. He wants you to just wait on him while he may set some things in order.
That's good.
And I've experienced, you know, people wanting to tell me, well, you need to do this. You need to step, you know, push. You need to go and do this because they thought this is the cookie cutter way of how they've seen God do a thing. Mm-hmm. Wherein I'm not looking for the cookie cutter way mm-hmm. of what they think, you know, I should be doing like everybody else. God created me uniquely me. So whatever he has for me to do is my assignment, no one else's.
Exactly.
So therefore, my assignment is going to differ from someone else's in a way where and how he could do it. So when it comes to receiving instruction from others, you know, not being anxious is important to just allow God to speak to you and then validate it within your spirit. And you get a peace about it. Mm-hmm. So that way you are not stepping ahead of God. You're not doing something another person's way of doing it or the way they think you should do it. But mm-hmm. you're allowing God to pour wisdom into you to tell you how he wants you to do a thing.
That's right.
And again, if it take a while for you to hear from God, then you should allow that time to continue to seek him, to continue to stay in the word of God so that he can pour into you even through the word knowledge, because he has done that for me many a times. Mm-hmm. But one thing I can say that I've learned from our spiritual mother, Reverend Carolyn Horton, who's with the Lord now, mm-hmm. And she always told us whenever we came to her, because she was our wise counsel, mm-hmm. she always told us that to go to God.
And that's not to take away from our parents, mm-hmm. you know, but she was our mentor,
yes.
our, as Lady V said, our spiritual mother, mm-hmm. and we mm-hmm. miss her dearly.
Mm-hmm. But she always taught us, when we would come to her for wise counsel, she always taught us to go to God about everything. Mm-hmm. She would give us advice, and she sought the Lord for that advice she would give us. But she would always direct us back to God, because she always wanted it to be confirmed from God what she had said to us.
And your wise counsel can be a person that's not a family member, because mm-hmm. sometimes they can be more neutral.
Yeah.
When you present your whatever your situation is to them, you know, your family, they are biased. Mm-hmm. You know, they love you, and you know, sometimes they're going to be telling you from their own experience through their lens. And mm-hmm. then they want to protect you, and they'll be coming from that point. Mm-hmm. Where in a wise counsel who's a neutral person, mm-hmm. they'll be able to look at the situation. Not saying that that person doesn't or wouldn't care or love you, mm-hmm. but they are a step or two removed
yes.
from your family and close friends, because they can look at it from an angle in which, you know, they are not clouded a lot of times.
Yeah.
But we're talking about wise counsel. Mm-hmm. There is a difference.
There's a difference. There's a difference between someone who's going to give you wisdom that they receive from God and wisdom they receive from experience, than someone who is just trying to push you into something that you're not ready for. Mm-hmm. Because one thing about God, he'll prepare you for everything that he has for you, and he will not give it to you before you are ready for it.
Exactly.
So if there's someone there that's saying go for it or do this or do that, and you're feeling your spirit unrest and there's no peace there, then that's wisdom saying don't you step out.
That's
you
right.
wait on God, and when you get a peace, he'll give you the peace, mm-hmm. and you'll know when to step out to do mm-hmm. whatever that thing is that you're questioning him about. And in some cases, it could be a relationship, whether to stay in it or to leave it. Mm-hmm. And again, put God in it. Don't leave God out of relationships, because you need him to sustain it or to break you from it if mm-hmm. it's not good for you. Mm-hmm. Because staying into something that's toxic just not to be lonely is not wise.
Mm-mm.
To be wise is to be with who is best for you and who you are best for. Mm-hmm. It is not about just having someone in a bed next to you or just saying that you have someone, because you can be depressed, you can be tore down all by yourself.
That's
you
right.
You don't need an extra person to make you feel the way. You need someone that's trying to lift you up. You're trying to lift them up. You're both steady lifting each other up. It's not about just me. It's about us, and it's about you, about each other. So that also works in relationships. Get wise counsel about relationships too, because sometimes your friends or your families or like I said, we said wise counsel can give you some wisdom about what you're going through to either to give you help to either stay in it because it's not bad for you, but you just have to learn how to work it, mm-hmm. or to give you strong advice as to leave it, mm-hmm. you know, because it's better to leave a bad relationship than to stay in one and it's toxic to you and if you have children to your children. Mm-hmm. So you want to always continue to grow and not have anyone or anything impede your peace or your growth. You don't want to be anxious and you want to talk to God about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So in this last final scripture I just want to share is James chapter 1 verses 5 through 6, which says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. So again, ask God for wisdom if you need questions or have concerns about something, mm-hmm. and God is very much so willing to give it, but just know you got to have faith in God and God alone and know that he, just like Solomon knew, that God was the one that had all the answers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, each week, guys, we're going to start something where we call the Spread Hope Challenge. Our show is about spreading hope everywhere. So this challenge is to challenge you each week to spread some hope. So the challenge for this week is, since we're talking about wisdom, if you are an older person, give some wisdom to a younger person. You know, and if you are a younger person, don't be afraid to ask an older person for some wisdom, for some nuggets, for anything that may help you to not make mistakes, to go further. And let us know if you did the Spread Hope Challenge. Let us know on social media and hashtag it the Spread Hope Challenge.
So guys, we're going to close out, and so, you know, I just want to leave you with one thing here, until the next time, you know, remember this word of instruction from 1 Corinthians 16:14, let love and kindness be the motivation behind all that you do.
If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe so that you can stay plugged in into another hope-filled discussion. For this week's show notes, go to spreadinghopeeverywheretalks.com/S1E5. While you are there, follow and like us on social media. Sign up for my SDs, list of 10 must-read books for positive outlook, spiritual enlightenment, and brain health. Check out Lady V's weekly devotionals. And if you like merch with positive messaging, go on over to our online store. Join us next time on She Talks, Spreading Hope Everywhere Talks, where we are letting our light shine through faith, hope, and